In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think I've ever talked more about Mary than until I came here to the seminary. And what happens is, on these warm summer evening barbecues in the woods, several seminarians will gather around, and shockingly enough, the topic of conversation becomes theological. And usually it's a debate about something nuanced, minor, something nitpicky sometimes. But if the topic of conversation steers towards Mary, usually somebody's Roman Catholic radar goes up, and often that debate or topic centers around the perpetual virginity of Mary, which I won't be talking about this morning, thanks be to God. But sometimes you'll see a cringe in someone's face or a gasp from someone if a pious seminarian utters the phrase, well, it's the difference between a pre- and post-Trent Hail Mary. And it's at that point in the barbecue that my wife's eyes glaze over and the conversation and debate continues. But despite all that, I love this reading from St. Luke because it reminds me and teaches us what happens when we don't talk about Mary enough. I mean, after all, she is the mother of God, the Theotokos. And what happens is we fall into one side of the ditch that is just as erroneous as the other side, which is making too much about Mary. She is no co-redemptrix, but she did give birth to the living God made flesh, and she is certainly not a nobody. She found favor with God, which has everything to do with how he wrapped up his promises in the unexpected. The low brought high, all according to his promise. There is a key word about Mary in our reading, a word that if you get wrong, you just don't get the story wrong, but really you get Mary wrong. And that word is grace. It appears in our ESV translation as favored one, but it comes from the Greek root word keratao, which can best be translated as to have grace shown to one. You see, when we're talking about grace, we're talking about favor and not the ability to do favors, but the fact that someone looks at someone else with kindly, intentional affection, with special attention. We're talking about favorable regard for someone or having someone in the gaze of another person. And the fact about favor here with Mary is that God is the one doing the gazing. The Lord is the one looking favorably. The wonderful thing about the angel Gabriel's message to Mary is that it is the same message to you this morning. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. There's no need to be afraid. You have found favor with God. He is casting his glance upon you, and the lens that he looks through renders your image favorable, because that lens is Christ. In other words, the lens that he is looking at or looking through at Mary is the lens of fulfillment. Fulfillment of a promise made all the way back in Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. This God, whose eye is on the sparrow, looks also squarely to spotlight the little and the last, the lowly, the widow and orphan, the the sojourner and exile. Not the exalted, but the humble. Not the great, but the small. And it gets at this ocular gaze analogy that's in Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Because the apple of the eyes is the center, the pupil. And if you look hard enough, you can see a very tiny reflection of whatever that pupil is looking at. And that's exactly how Mary felt at the announcement. Very tiny. How will this be since I am a virgin, she says. But behold, I am the bondservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. For the very tiny, for the meek, for the doorkeeper in the Lord's house, there is grace and favor. The favor at being at the center of the Lord's gaze, being regarded favorably by the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So the question is, why is grace shown to Mary? Why does the Lord regard her favorably? And the answer is, it's all because she encountered that grace herself as the one who was redeemed by the one she bore. The great irony and really the paradox here is that the one that is full of grace and truth was the one that Mary gave birth to. Because as soon as the Holy Spirit comes upon her and the power of the Most High overshadows her, she is full of Christ. And the one who is full of Christ is indeed shown grace and viewed favorably. Because in his incarnation lies the fullness of God, which changes everything for you. That baby conceived in Mary, the baby born in the manger, is the God-man who will suffer and die for you, who was hung on a cross and murdered at the hands of sinners for you, which means that by Christ coming down to us, being born of the Virgin Mary, we are lifted up to him. He comes to love a world that is full of plague and death, selfishness and greed, hatred and sin. And he does not reject it, but he embraces it. That means that he comes for you and for me and for all of us, so that the one who is full of Christ is full of grace because he is the author of grace. That grace and favor shown to Mary has everything to do with Jesus. And on the day that Mary gives birth to God's Son, she also provides a day of birth for all who will be born in him as well. You see, in that way, she prefigures the church, which gives birth to those who are in Christ. Your birth into this family of faith occurred when Christ's words were proclaimed at your baptism. Because that's the business of the word, bringing you to life. That's what God's word does, calling from non-existence into existence, calling from death to life. Calling from Elizabeth's geriatric womb, the baptizer of Christ. And the even more impossible, calling from the virgin womb, the Christ himself. Calling you out of your grave, of your own impossible burden, the messiness of your sin. Calling you to be reborn, resurrected as a child of God, so that you now see the world in the light of the imminent coming of Christ. The true impact of the Annunciation, the incarnation, is realized on Good Friday. Our Lord is raised up on the cross, so that by his very incarnation and by his dwelling with us and by his resurrection, he redeems all things. And his church, your mother, is where you, a newborn soldier of the crucified, are raised. This lowly but highly favored virgin brings the gospel to the world. Mary, the Mother of God, who prefigures the lowly but highly favored bride of Christ, the church, who brings the gospel of his coming to an ever darkening world through its proclamation. In fact, the proclamation, the very proclamation of those who will be sent from this place. This is the gospel of the birth of the one who came to save people from their sin, Jesus. It is a gospel of life. It is a gospel of forgiveness. It is a gospel for Mary and for the world. And it is a gospel for you, because you have been shown grace on account of Jesus. You are favored because the Lord is with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.